Like we can take a very simple example, like we know that Shakespeare is a very famous author. Now there are books written by Shakespeare, we know that. There is Hamlet, Macbeth, Julius Caesar, Romeo and Juliet, Midsummer Night's Dream. So these are all, everybody knows that they are written by Shakespeare. Now if somebody comes and tells, no, they are not written by Shakespeare, Shakespeare did not exist. Will it be an intelligent proposal? Then who wrote? The point is, who wrote? And there are envious people like that. Even in these cases, I have seen that there are envious people, those who don't want to give credit to Shakespeare. They say Shakespeare did not exist. They say it's Francis Bacon who actually wrote them. In a pseudonym of Shakespeare, Francis Bacon wrote them. What is the proof? If Francis Bacon can write this, why can't Shakespeare write this? The point is, this is the envious nature of the human being. They don't want to give the credit where it is due. By shifting the credit from where it is due, they want to glorify, they want to establish their authority. And ultimately it extends to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't want to give him the credit. Fine, you don't want to give him the credit, but then what will be the result? The result is you will suffer. You will suffer. And what's the result of surrendering unto him? The result of surrendering is you will enjoy. The other day I was reading one incident. Indradumna Maharaj was narrating it. That he was recalling one person in one devotee during the Sankirtan Marathon time, this time. One girl, she was distributing, she was a very enthusiastic book distributor. She was distributing in the railway station in Paris. And they would, even when the train would stop, they would even go inside the train to distribute Bhagavad Gita. And then as soon as the train would about to start to move, she would come out of the compartment. And so she gave this Bhagavad Gita to one person. And he started to scream at her. Then he tore the Bhagavad Gita and he started to pound the on Bhagavad Gita, on Gita's feet. And then he threw her out of the train when it started to move, and she dislocated her bones and she was hospitalized. Anyway, this incident was forgotten till much later. And in the meantime, yes, this is the thing. In the meantime, this person, he took that, carried the Bhagavad Gita with him. He went home, he showed it to his wife, and very proudly telling her what he did. But then the book was there on the table. The maidservant, he's a big man, he was a banker. So the maidservant came and she saw this and she thought that really it's a book that, to her it seemed like the car has run over the book and the book got damaged. So she dusted the book and kept it in the library. Now in the meantime, this man's wife died in a car crash. His daughter ran away with a low-class person. understand. His whole family got devastated, and the man was completely devastated. And he was, one day he was sitting down, and just out of curiosity, he started to read this book, Bhagavad Gita, in French. And when he started to read the book, he got completely transformed. He saw, recognized his mistake. At the back of the thing, he saw this man was from Spain actually. He saw the address of the temple in Madrid. So he went to the temple, and when he went to the temple president came out, and he was in his suit and tie, and when he came to him, he just knelt down with folded hand. He started to appeal, "Please forgive me, please forgive me." And then he started to come to the temple. Actually, the temple person couldn't understand. He thought really he became mad or something. So because a person like him don't usually behave like that, because people in suit and tie, they naturally maintain their dignity. They don't kneel down and appeal like that. Anyway, but he found out, the man, he consoled him, said, "No problem," and he started to come to your temple. And then in Italy, there was a festival, and this man was invited, and he also came. And there he saw this girl who distributed the Bhagavad Gita, and he just started to cry and cry and sing her, and begging forgiveness. And the girl, of course, said, "No, don't worry, everything." And the man became a devotee. already he became a devotee. So, Krishna has his inconceivable way of bringing a living entity back to his lotus feet. But we should be careful that how we behave with devotees, how we approach to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his instructions. The intelligent thing is to just accept the instruction. At least one thing we can understand, that Krishna is so wise. At least when we read Bhagavad Gita, we get so many informations that we are not at all aware of. How many of us knew that we are not this body, we are spirits, before reading Bhagavad Gita? I don't think anybody, hardly anyone. Because where do we get the information? The natural tendency is to think that I am this body. Everybody thinks that I am this body. That's why it is said, Janmana Jayate Shudra. By birth, everyone is a Shudra. Everyone is an ignorant. But it's only by receiving spiritual knowledge that one becomes a Brahman, one becomes enlightened. The spiritual knowledge must be received from some source. We can't get this knowledge on our own. This knowledge has to come from a bona fide source, and the bona fide source is Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or the scriptures like. But Bhagavad Gita is the basic. Like I have seen, Upanishad can be very bewildering, especially when we read without the guidance of a qualified teacher. Even Bhagavad Gita. Often I remember, I used to carry a Bhagavad Gita with me all the time. I used to read them whenever I'd get time, and I would even take notes on the side. notes about my realizations. But eventually I realized, when I came across Srila Prabhupada, then I realized that I didn't understand a single thing in Bhagavad Gita. Although I was reading Bhagavad Gita for so many years, although I was thinking that I am understanding so much. But when I came across Srila Prabhupada, I realized that I didn't understand anything about Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because what was happening is when I would read certain areas, certain chapters, I would just focus on that chapter only. And I would try to see things according to my understanding of what I was reading. But when I came across Srila Prabhupada, what was the special understanding from Prabhupada? The special understanding is Krishna is God and surrendering unto Him is the only way to apply the wisdom of Bhagavad Gita in our life. Krishna is God. Whereas the Bhagavad Gita that I was reading before, nowhere it has been mentioned or pointed out that Krishna is God. They were just trying to understand Bhagavad Gita according to their understanding, their presentation, not according to Krishna's perspective. And that's why Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is causing such a revolution all around the world. Not even I was reading, many of my hippie friends are also interested in Bhagavad Gita. They would read the Bhagavad Gita of Isharur and sometimes we would have discussions. I don't know what we discussed. It was such a waste of time. But then Prabhupada came and just gave the magic touch and the revelation of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is God, and the first instruction is surrender unto Him. If you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, the first qualification is surrender. Tadvidhi pranipatina. To surrender. And this is how I learned how to surrender unto Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's purports. Yes, and then everything started to unfold. So, Bhagavad Gita must be studied under the guidance of a qualified teacher. And that qualified teacher is a devotee. Unless and until one is a devotee, one won't be able to reveal the purports of Bhagavad Gita. Just as Krishna Himself pointed out in Bhagavad Gita, Bhakta Mam Abhi Janati. Bhakta means by devotion, by bhakti. Only by bhakti, only through bhakti one can get to know Me. Only through bhakti one can understand the words of Bhagavad Gita. So, that is the most important understanding of Bhagavad Gita, which has been revealed by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's point was Bhagavad Gita as it is. We must study Bhagavad Gita as it is. Not only the way Krishna spoke, that is one half of Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna spoke. And the other half of Bhagavad Gita is the way Arjuna understood. And that's what makes it complete. The speaker and the listener. The teacher and the student. The knowledge is revealed by this two aspects, teacher and student. Teacher gives, teacher imparts the knowledge, and the student understands it. We have to see Bhagavad Gita the way Arjuna understood it. Now, in this respect, the way these people are presenting Bhagavad Gita, they are not only rejecting Krishna out of the picture, they are putting Krishna away from the picture. Krishna is not important. The speaker of Bhagavad Gita is not important. I am important. Because I am giving the purport of Bhagavad Gita. Taking the knowledge from Krishna and putting my stamp on it. What kind of rascaldom is this? You come up with your own knowledge, write your own book, and then not just plagiarize, not just some, take others' knowledge, others' writing, and then put a stamp on it. Not only they are rejecting Krishna, but they are totally unconcerned about Arjuna, totally unconcerned about the background. Why Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita in order to give Arjuna, in order to convince Arjuna to fight the battle. And how is he pointing it out? He is pointing it out by reminding Arjuna that you are not your body, you are a spirit soul. And the goal of your life is to surrender unto me. And then at the end of Bhagavad Gita we are seeing that Arjuna is soul surrendered unto Krishna. And then it continues. We see the battle of Kurukshetra. Then we see how Arjuna fighting the battle. Then we see how Krishna is helping Arjuna, protecting him time and time again. And then ultimately we see how Arjuna came out victorious. Although it was impossible a battle to win. Who could ever win a battle against this kind of opposition, this kind of opponents? Bhishma, a person who is practically immortal, he would not die unless he wants to die himself. And he is one of the greatest warriors, has been taught by Parashuram himself, the incarnation, the Kshatriya warfare incarnation of the Lord, who eliminated the entire Kshatriya communities 21 times from the surface of the earth. That Parashuram is Bhishma's guru. And not only he is his guru, but Bhishma fought with Parashuram, and Parashuram himself couldn't defeat Bhishma. So here is this personality. Then Dronacharya, another invincible personality. Until he dropped the weapons from his hand, nobody would be able to kill him. Dronacharya could be killed only when he voluntarily dropped the weapon from his hand. Then Karna, the son of sun god, the greatest of all the Kshatriyas. Although I did not identify, not recognize as a Kshatriya. Then Duryodhan, who was personally taught by Balaram. And then numerically also, the enemy side is so much stronger. So what is the chance of the Pandavas winning that battle? And that's why Duryodhan was so confident. I'll wipe them out in one day. And I will enjoy this world without these people. I'll just kill them all in the battle. And that's why Duryodhana would not make any compromise. He was so confident. The victory on his side was practically inevitable. But then we see the scenario took another turn. Bhishma is gone, Dronacharya is gone, all are eliminated one after another. The personalities, those who are practically impossible to defeat in the battle. they are just going out one after another. Dead, dead. Duryodhana is devastated. What's happening? He's freaking out. What's happening? Yes, that's what happens when Krishna is on against you. Therefore, don't go against Krishna. Always line up with Krishna. You may have your plans completely foolproof, but all those plans will just go haywire. As it happened to the So, this is what we learned from Bhagavad Gita. Side with Krishna. No matter whoever you are, you are going to win. No matter how big is your opposition, it will be removed. And that is the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who can be more powerful than Krishna? Who can be more powerful than the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Only the fools don't realize. The fools, those who are blind with envy, they do not realize. They think, I am the greatest. Who is Krishna? Who is God? He may be an insignificant as an ant or even worse than an ant. In his deathbed, these people, still they don't want to surrender. They can't even lift their own hand. No, why should I surrender to Krishna? Totally incapacitated. Still they don't want to surrender to Krishna. But what will an intelligent person do? He will surrender to Krishna. Right at the beginning, no matter wherever he is, whoever he is, how powerful he may be, an intelligent person will recognize that no matter whoever he is or how powerful he is, Krishna is far more superior and far more powerful than he is. And whatever power he has, whatever opulence he has, whatever ability he has, it's simply due to Krishna's mercy. That is an intelligent conclusion. That's an intelligent understanding. Whatever opulence I have, whatever ability I have, whatever strength I have, it is simply due to Krishna's mercy. So let me be grateful. Oh Krishna, you have given me so much. You have given me so much. And I'm so thankful to you. So let me just try to do something for you. And when one develops this attitude, his life is successful. Then nothing inauspicious can come to him. And under all circumstances, he will win. And if anyone goes against him, he better watch out. If anyone goes against him, and that is why it is pointed out, don't go against the Vaishnava. Because Krishna is with him. And if you go against him, then you are actually stepping into a wrong platform. Because Krishna is with him, he'll be smashed. One may say, I am also a Vaishnava, Krishna is with me. Well, if you want to take a chance, go ahead. Hare Krishna. So in this way, Krishna is pointing out the surrender unto Krishna. That's the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. So the one who has surrendered himself unto Krishna's lotus feet, he has perfectly understood Bhagavad Gita. He has gone through the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita in a most appropriate fashion. He understood every single verse of Bhagavad Gita. Because that is the ultimate configuration of Bhagavad Gita. Surrender unto Krishna. You surrender unto Krishna, your life will be successful. You doesn't matter whoever you may be, whether you are learned or ignorant, whether you are powerful or weak, whether you are famous or degraded, doesn't matter. If you just surrender into Krishna, your life is perfect. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Premanande Hari. Any question? Yes.
In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he who studies the conversation between you and me, is worshipping me by his true intelligence. And you explain in your class how intelligence gets corrupted due to envy. So my question is, how do we help someone who has material intelligence, normal material standard is very intelligent. So how do we, spiritualize his intelligence so that he'll be able to understand this? Yeah.
Help him to get rid of his envious nature. Make him free. Help him or let him become free from envy, then only he will be able to help him. Not as long as he harbors his envious nature, his intelligence won't work. Because envy is going to obstruct it. Rather than that's why association is so important. You know, through association of Vaishnavas, what do you get? You get to see that they are so nice. They are so merciful. They are so compassionate. And that actually helps to get rid of the envy. The envy actually generates out of our defiant attitude. The envy comes, the origin of the envy is actually to try to lord over. Everyone is superior to me, everyone is inferior to me, and I am the greatest. That's actually the false ego. I am the greatest. And when there is when we come across things, it seems that somebody is greater than me. Somebody seems to be greater than me, then that turns into envy. Why him? Why not me? That's actually envy. Then ultimately it goes on to the greatest, the Supreme Personality. But when you come across the devotees, what do you find? Although they are so great, but they don't want to display that. They don't want to claim that they are superior to us. They kind of maintain an attitude that they are our well-wisher. And on top of everything, they are so humble. They are well-wisher. He is great, but he is my friend. So that is how this appropriate Vaishnava association actually helps us become free from envy. And that's why it is so important that the community of Vaishnavas should be displaying this spiritual quality. And the greatest spiritual quality is that in spite of being exalted, he considers himself to be so low. Although they are the greatest, but they consider themselves to be the lowest. Now, where is the room for becoming envious towards them? Like, in one hand, I am seeing their greatness, but he is presenting as if he is lower than me. So he is already putting me into an exalted position. So there is no room for cultivation of envy there. So that's why we have two responsibilities: to remain in the Vaishnava association and to create the Vaishnava environment. We should not become Vaishnava just by wearing saffron and putting tilak and shaving heads. Our actual Vaishnava qualities will be displayed by our attitude and behavior. And what is a Vaishnava? He is just trying to fulfill everybody's desires. Bancha kalpasadhi. So if somebody is there in the world where everyone is trying to become the master, if I find there is a community where everybody thinks that he is our servant, then what a wonderful atmosphere it will be. That's why the temple atmosphere should be a pure Vaishnava atmosphere. Our attitude should be, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? And you will see how people will respond. I feel so happy when people tell me, devotees are so nice. And why they are saying the devotees are so nice? Because they feel that the devotees are just, you know, always so caring. Their attitude is, are you happy? Are you comfortable? What can I do for you? Can I make your stay a little more comfortable? And that is how people will be won over. And that is how we have to create the Vaishnava environment. Alright, yes, what's your question?
How can we get the pure devotion of Krishna?
Okay, you read Bhagavad Gita and try to practice it. Alright? Are you chanting Hare Krishna? Chant Hare Krishna? Are you following the regulative principle? Do you eat meat? Or are you a vegetarian? You are a vegetarian. Do you take any intoxication? No? Good. You are on a very nice platform already. You don't drink tea, coffee, sometimes. No? Okay. So, and anyway, so you are on a very good platform. So chant Hare Krishna and associate with the devotees and read Bhagavad Gita. Right? Do you accept that Krishna is God? And who are you? Who are you? His servant. Yeah, very good. You are his servant. So Krishna is the Lord and you are his servant. Very good. So you keep on practicing and you will see you will become a very good devotee. Maybe already you have become a very good devotee. What do you do? Where? So become a very good devotee. And then you'll see how wonderful Krishna will reward you. Yes. Okay, you let her ask the question and Shyamkund, you translate it to me. Yeah, you ask the question. No, no, not one by sentence by sentence. In one go. Let her tell the question to you and you tell me. Okay, now you tell me the whole question. Yes. Yes, our understanding is that it is difficult to surrender to Krishna directly, but we must surrender through Krishna's bona fide representative. And that bona fide representative of Krishna is the Vaishnavas. And among the Vaishnavas, we find our gurus. So yes, that is the way to surrender to Krishna. Because you cannot speak to Krishna or hear Krishna. But you can speak to your guru and hear from him. So that is what you need. Somebody there who you can communicate with to get the goods. Okay. It is like when you want to buy a Japanese car in Russia, in Moscow. In Moscow there is Toyota cars. Right? Toyota cars are made where? In Japan. So to buy a Toyota car, do you have to go to Japan? If you had to go to Japan and get the car and ship it, it would have been difficult. But if there is an agent of Toyota in Moscow, so you can just go to the shop, pay the money and buy the car. Isn't it a lot easier? Right? So similarly, Krishna also sent his agents. Right? So you can approach the agent and you'll get the goods. And what is the goods here? Transcendental knowledge. Alright? Okay. Yes? Okay, another question. Yeah, it can be even worse. Because, you see, if you commit an offense to the father may not mind it so much. But if in front of the father, if you do something to his son, how will the father react? Father will be even more angry if you do something to his son. Similarly, if you commit some offense to Krishna, he may not take it that seriously. But if you commit offense to Krishna's devotee, then Krishna becomes very upset. Alright? And when Krishna is angry, you better watch out. Okay? It's called Om.
Yes.
Is it? How do you spell it?
O-S-M.
Oh, I see. O-S-M.
Okay. Management of Department of Police, the television program, under King, the greatest, the builders of India. So they have selected two personalities. They were Dayanand Mahatma Gandhi. Along with them, Radha Krishna also has the greatest.
Radha? Radha Krishna or Radha Krishnan?
Radha Krishna.
Krishna. Then why Radha Krishna?
I don't know.
Okay.
Radha Krishna.
Must be Radha Krishnan, who was the president of India. Okay, so what's your question?
I said, avoid Radha Krishna. Their personality is blood, and they can understand the fun and the personality. And they said, you read such a path, so you can understand the
but I want to argue again that we are going to use the Buddha. But how to convince that?
Well, you won't be able to convince because you are a small fry there. They are not going to listen to you. You know, because these people are, you know, like, how can you convince them? They are the decision makers. You are not the decision maker. And they are not going to listen to you. You can try. You can try. But try not, you know, like, approaching through this kind of issues, you won't be able to make it headway. Because, you know, they'll immediately consider, who are you to tell us? We have made the decision, you are supposed to execute the job, just do it. I'm not here to listen to you. So give them some Krishna prasad and pray to Krishna. That's the problem, you know, like, I mean, the whole system has become so demonic. To change them is going to be very, very difficult.
They have already
So as that's what I said, like, they are not here to promote Krishna consciousness. They are here to promote sense gratification. So they will do just anything to promote sense gratification, and their audience also don't want to listen to some spiritual advice. Their audience wants to listen to something or see some program that will be conducive to the sense gratification. So in order to change the system, we have to change the whole world. And that's why Sankirtan movement is there. It's not one man's job. It's a worldwide movement that has to take place. And that's why Prabhupada created ISKCON. Individually, we won't be able to change the system. But ISKCON can change the system. But it will take time. And also, the important thing is how we are contributing to ISKCON. How we are acting on behalf of ISKCON. How we are promoting the mission of ISKCON. Yes, what's your question? What is the question? I didn't get that. Yeah, I said Bhagavad Gita Jayanti is the day when Krishna, today is the day when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. This is today Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Okay? That is Gita Jayanti. Is that, does it answer the question? Jawab mila tumhara prashna kya tha tumhara? आज से आज कृष्ण ने भगवत गीता बताया था अर्जुन को. ठीक है, ये आज का जो तिथि है, इस तिथि में अर्जुन को भगवत गीता बताया.
And he benefited because of his mentality and his understanding. Now, when Arjuna, I mean, when Duryodhana was in the throes of death, and Krishna and the Pandavas came to him, he actually said, I don't care about all of you. I'm going to the heavenly planets anyway to enjoy. You know, so whatever you did and whatever you said doesn't matter, you know. I don't care. So he didn't get the benefit, even though he was dying and saw Krishna there. That kind of inimical attitude is kind of very heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
He just couldn't get it?
As you say, he went to the heavenly planet. Okay. Yeah. English.
Devotee is one third of the world. We can put with all the desires of the how being a devotee, we can put with the desire, material desire of others.
He'll, like a well-wisher, he knows which desire should be fulfilled and which not. If somebody comes to a devotee and tells him, give me a bottle of scotch, will he fulfill that desire? So, he may be bancha kalpa taru, but he is not going to fulfill the desires that may be detrimental to the spiritual field. He knows how to fulfill his desires for his spiritual advancement. And when we take to this process, surrendering unto the Vaishnava, then we see that how he fulfills all our desires, even some desires may be unknown in our heart. We may not be aware that he fulfills those desires. This morning only I was reflecting on that, like how Prabhupada fulfilled all my desires in such a wonderful way. I surrendered unto him and he just not all desires, but desires that were beneficial for my spiritual progress, that were fulfilled. And the desires that were detrimental to my spiritual progress, Prabhupada made me realize that those desires should not be cultivated. So this is how a Vaishnava helps. A surrender, a soul who surrenders. Okay, thank you very much. Our glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.